unlimited growth. Church of Christ, you are different. Church of Christ, you are different and unique. We are unique and different, not because the women don't preach here, or not because we take communion every Sunday, or we don't pray, we don't use instrumental music here. We are unique in the sense that you follow the pattern of the Bible, pattern. Because you have a blueprint, and you call it pattern theology. You use pattern theology to do everything. That is why Church of Christ, we are different from other churches or other denominations. Last week, we learned about the ministries, the five ministries God has given to his church. Five ministries. So quickly, who can help us to remember what we learned last week? We have five ministries, as Dr. Luke introduced to us in the book of the Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Who can help us? We learn about because we learn that the church, we have five ministries. And anything you do in the church, in the Lord's church, fall under one of them. The five biblical ministries. Who can help us to, at least you have to mention all the five before you continue our lessons?
Number one is evangelism.
Evangelism. Okay, thank you.
Benevolence.
Education, yeah. Education, yeah. Evangelism, education, worship, yes. Service. And then fellowship, yeah. Fellowship. So if you look on the book of Acts, the Luke make it organize it from 1 to 5. The first one is evangelism, as brothers have said. Evangelism, education, worship, fellowship, worship, and then service. So the service is the last one. This is what we learned last week. And anything you do, fall under one of them. You see, anything you do, fall under one of them. And it's very important for lost church to know our duties, because God has called us not for making only fans here or making, he has called us so that to give us a particular or purpose. He has called us for a purpose. And this purpose, we need to learn also to continue. Because if you look about the restoration movement, how some people came together and put the biblical principles, how to worship God. People went back onto the Bible and they find it. And I always keep in mind what Bragere always used to say, that if you are saying something, you have to give me book, chapter, and verse. Book, chapter, and verse. If you don't have that one, then you cannot apply it here. And I also have added something like, here you don't use a lot of three things you don't use here. I think, I suggest, and then I feel. You don't use our thinking here. You don't use our suggestion here. You don't use our feelings. What we have here is what the Bible has said. That is our authority in the scripture. So In the book of Acts, let's open our Bible into the book of Acts. Quickly. In the book of Acts, chapter 2. Quickly, let's start from verse 38, because this is a familiar quotation to us. Verse 36. Let's start from verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, going.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, good Lord in Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were afraid in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourself from this unworthy generation. Then they that gladly received this word, their baptized, and the same day Yahweh added unto them and appeared to them so. And they continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Yeah, continue. Yeah, up to 47.
So, and all that believe they are together, and have all things common, and sold their possession and goods, and parted them to all men, and every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, deep with their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as he said.
Yeah, so as we already know, the pattern of the church or the ministry of the church is evangelism, education, fellowship, worship, and service. And we introduced it last week. And now today, God willing, we are going to look about one by one how we can understand the Bible examples in all these ministries. He said there are five areas of ministry that the church must, this is the word, the church must be active and effective in if it wants to grow. No matter what you do in work in the church, it somehow fits into one of these five areas of ministry. The Luke at describe it as we have read it from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 47. So let us examine closely one by one. The evangelism ministry. We all know that in Pentecost Sunday, we see Peter establish the evangelism ministry as he begins preaching the gospel to the crowd gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost feast. We can read this from Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 41, which includes a summary of Peter's sermon and the crowd's response to him. We see the basic element of the ministry of evangelism. So, on the day of Pentecost, what we can read is Peter got an opportunity to preach the first gospel. And at that time, you call it gospel. Gospel, which means what? Good news. Good news. Why we call this good news? Because good news is a good news to extend that This is the problem of the solution to mankind's problem. This is the solution to mankind's problem, which is what? Which is what? Sin. Our main problem is sin. Mankind's problem. So the good news is that Jesus came to this world to what? To make sacrifice for everyone, for everybody, so that we can be reconciled or have relationship with God. And this is called good news or evangelism. Let's read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Or you can start from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As Paul described this good news. First Corinthians chapter 15, just read verse 3 and 4. Yeah.
For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again because they according to the scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto his presence, but some are falling asleep.
Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4 tell us the good news. The good news that God, Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. This is our hope. And this is what tied us into Christ. You see, that is the good news. And you call it evangelism. This one, you preach, you don't preach this one to those who have been giving their life to God. You preach to those who don't know God. We make them know that there is a chance or there is a way for them to be reconciled to God through the sacrifice Jesus did on the cross. So, and you see that Peter, he preached, three things you can learn from here. He preached the gospel and also telling the story of the death, burial, and resurrection. This is what we have read. And also, he also told them to what? How can they be reconciled to God? He explained it. He didn't just say it. He preached it. They briefed the information. And then Peter continued to tell them the process. You see, this process, normally some people call it plan of salvation. No, it's not a plan of salvation. It's what? It's man's response to the plan of salvation. Man's response to the plan of salvation. What is our response in the Bible? Always, Bragery, after his sermon, you always repeat these five things or five procedures. If you want to become a born again, the five steps you have to do. Who can help us? Mm-hmm. Hear, yeah. Hear the word of God. Mm-hmm.
Believe the gospel.
Hmm?
Believe the gospel.
Believe, yeah.
Repent.
Repent, yeah.
Confess.
And then baptize. This is what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. You see, he told them and told them the procedure, how they can do. And willingly, we see in Acts 41 that Acts 2:41 that they are willing to do these five things. You see, so it is up to us to also to share this gospel or the good news to the lost. It is up to you. And there is so many kinds of doing this. You see, In the Bible, there is so many kinds of doing this evangelism. You see, we have different kinds. Because in Acts chapter 2, what you see, Peter stand on the crowd, about millions of thousands of people in front of them. This evangelism, you call it confrontational evangelism. This is the in Africa you use a lot of this procedure. At times, maybe two churches, three churches gather together and make gospel campaign. And it's about maybe thousands of people come together and listen. This is the procedure Peter used. And this procedure you use most. Here, I don't think, at times you call it lectureship. But that one is not as the Peter is saying here, confrontational evangelism. At times, lectureship, it seems like we, the believers, gather together and maybe encourage ourselves or make it some teachings. But here, Peter, they stood together, they used opportunity of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, to preach to the public. And this one, you call it confrontational evangelism. It's good. But maybe because of laws and order in our countries, maybe UK here, you cannot use this one. They will not allow you to use this one. At times, when I came here, I can see a lot of people in city center standing there preaching all this. And all this thing is a confrontational evangelism. You see that one in Acts chapter 2. You see where Peter get that opportunity to speak. You see, Peter in Acts chapter 2, this is straightforward preaching for public speaking. This is the straightforward. You go, you get opportunity, you preach to the ministry or the people so that you tell them also the death, burial, and the resurrection. That is the good news. And we have something called also intellectual evangelism. That's what happens in the book of Acts chapter 17. Christian writers, scholars, and debaters who proclaim the gospel in books and other ways. I have something here. This one. Because how do preachers got their information or teachings and all this? And they got it from this kind of evangelism, intellectual evangelism. And also, it's very good because we saw it in Acts chapter 17. This is what happened there. And we have testimonial evangelism. All these things, the goal is one. The goal is what? To share the gospel to the lost. The goal is one. So we have testimonial evangelism. This is a place where Church of Christ, you don't use a lot. Testimonial evangelism. You don't use what God has done for me to share it, or it seems like you don't use this kind. But this also is a biblical art of preaching. The story of the demonic in Luke chapter 8 is an example of this. After he was healed, the Lord sent this man back to his home region with the instruction to tell others. You see, tell others. That is testimonial evangelism. Jesus went there and a lot of crowds followed him. Because of what? Because of testimony. What the guy went there and proclaimed. So this one, Church of Christ, you are not used to this one, because sharing your what God has done for you or this thing, it seems like it's very strange to us. And we have interpersonal evangelism. Interpersonal evangelism. We see an example of this in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus agrees to eat at Matthew tax collector's house. This is called interpersonal evangelism. At times you invite people into a house in order to what? To share the good news to them. Not everybody have a gift to go there, to go outside out there and preach. Nobody, not all, because God has given us our gift. You have some people who don't have that ability or that will. But at least you can invite some people to your house, and then you use that opportunity to what? To share the good news to them. You see, that is very, very important. You see, Jesus went to Matthew's, the tax collector's house, and he used that opportunity to what? To preach, to share the gospel to him. And even the Matthew became an apostle, you see. And he also became an elder, you see. So let's use all the aspect of evangelism. Let's try to use it. It's like here, it's very difficult to use confrontational evangelism as Peter used it. But you can use other means as well. You can use invitation. A lot of people, not all people can invite people. You see, that's what I'm saying, everybody has a gift. A lot of people, they are very strange. It's very strange to them to invite people, but at least they can do other things so that we all can share the gospel together. This is the work of the church. And we call something also invitational evangelism. Invitational evangelism. This is the place Church of Christ you use more. You use this area very well. You use, I told you, you don't use testimonial evangelism. You don't use that one more. But Church of Christ, this is the place you use more. We invite people, at times our friends and all these things. This is good. Invitational evangelism. In John's gospel, we see the Samaritan woman inviting the people in the village to come and hear what Jesus had to say, because she herself had been touched by the interaction she had with him. In John 4, verse 4 to 26, this story is there, where immediately this lady went and what? And speak what Jesus has done to them. That is a form of inviting. You see, come and see what Jesus has done for him. And this is the area we try a lot. You see, it's very good. All this aspect is good, because the solution is what? To evangelize. You want to share the good news to all the people. This is invitational evangelism. And we have benevolent evangelism. Benevolent evangelism. Where do you get this one? At times, in our area, you don't know the reason why God choose us to be on that area. You see, you can do kindness to people, and they even willing to what? They willing to be with, and that kindness be a testimony to them. Something like, you find example like Dorcas. Dorcas was a good example of one who practiced benevolence evangelism. In Acts chapter 9, she impressed the community for Christ, with act of charity. You see, this charity, it seems like we have given to people, at least who don't know even the Bible. They are the ones who are doing this job. It is our job to do charity job so that people can see the good things in Christ. You see, that is very, very important. We have benevolence evangelism. And all this is, the goal is one. The goal is one. The goal is one. Benevolence evangelism. As I was saying, in Acts chapter 9, she impressed the community for Christ with act of charity and service in the name of Jesus. There are all kinds of opportunities for good works in our own communities. That if done with humility and faith, become effective evangelistic outreach and witness for the gospel. You see, so Dorcas use this opportunity, and let us bear in mind that God has called us, God has given us a task, and we have to bear in mind to share the gospel, to share the good news. And how can you share the good news? That's why we are learning all these things. We are learning all these things. We have learned about five types of evangelism. One is what? Confrontational evangelism. That is the one you see. Notice in the Acts, what happened in the Acts chapter 2. And this is good method. This is very good method. If the laws of the land permit us, you see, if the laws of the land permit us, church, you can organize and make this kind of evangelism, confrontational evangelism. And we have also learned about intellectual evangelism, where you can, there is some books you can learn, because God's so good. You have scholars. If you want to learn, you have scholars who have written some books, and you can they explain this good news, the burial, their burial and resurrection. They explain it very well. That is intellectual evangelism. That's also very good. And let's try not to ignore testimonial evangelism as well. Testimonial evangelism. Lord has done a lot in our life. And you can share. You can share to other people. You see, God has done a lot in our life. And if opportunities come, we need to share this as well. Don't let us try to ignore this one, because you don't know where the effective will come, where God can use it. God can use any corner. So at times you have to, if you get opportunity, time and opportunity to share our belief or to share what God has done for us when we became a Christian, you need to do that. It's not a matter of shaming or proud, or some people feel like if I share what God, even at times people will say it's not true. No, it's true, because you can see changes. Because Christianity is all about changing. Christianity is all about changing. So when I became a Christian, the change which I have observed, you have free to make a good testimony. And it's very good. You see, don't let us try to ignore this one, testimonial evangelism. We have, and it's very good. Anna, interpersonal evangelism. Interpersonal evangelism. You see, a lot of people, you can have opportunity to invite people. You see, or see, this one is, we see the example of, that's why I'm saying, we see this example in Acts chapter 5, where you can invite people in your house, although not everybody is used to this one. And this also is very important. And you see the outcome of this one, where Jesus got that opportunity, and he speaks to Peter. When the Peter mother-in-law was not feeling well, so Jesus did that miracle, and maybe that miracle convinced Matthew very well. You see, so you have to. If you get opportunity, you have to use that one, interpersonal evangelism. And invitational evangelism, this is the area you do most. And you have to continue doing it. You see, you have to continue doing it. Let us try to invite people, you see. And it's good. You see, you don't know what the outcome from that. You don't know what God is going to use that opportunity. Invitational evangelism. Let's just try, because I remember we did it some time ago. You shared the leaflet, all these things to areas, and you invite people to come and see why. And it's good. Invitational evangelism. And then we have benevolence evangelism. You see, benevolence. The church have to do benevolence evangelism as well. The church, if I say the church here, all these people, you can do that. And individually, you can do that in our area as well. Because we need to set an example, because we are the light and what? We are the salt. So the area you live, at least you have to set a good standard, and you have to do charitable work there. Don't let us give to those people who are doing for I'll say not stand on the Bible. It seems like we have ignored our work, and these people are taking it as charity. This is, but we have to do this kind of job. So this is what it sums about evangelism. We can have more. We can have more, but with our time, we can have this five, and if you continue to do all these five, I think God will help us to increase, and we can grow. The church can grow. And I said last time that all these five supposed to do it, we have to do it what? Simultaneously, continuously. We have to do all five at the same time. You see, you have to do all five at the same time, not focus on evangelism only and ignore the four. If you do that, you will not see the outcome. Unlimited growth that happened in the book of Acts, you will not experience that one. You see, so we have to do all five aspects. Our time is just little. Let's see something about teachings. Teachings. So now we understand evangelism. If somebody has a question, yeah.
When you're talking about evangelism,
yeah.
From even in this country and even from the country I come from,
yeah.
There's something that only bothers me about the growth of the church. And when we have a knowledge between the first century of the church and the way today,
yeah.
We find that there's a big gap between them in terms of the number that comes in and everything like that.
Yeah.
So what do we do? Because my understanding is that, to me, is that from what I understand scripture, that because the church was new and nothing like that, like when you have a product, there's no fake.
like my country when we first started side water. The place I started to side water made it an industrial state. But after a few weeks and a few months, they become a gate of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you come down, everything now spread all over the country.
Okay, the country, yeah.
Now you have less sales or profit than all over there. When I'm looking at the same church today now, we have denomination in our place.
Yeah.
In the time of the Christ, when they appointed Peter and they preached the gospel, that gospel was new to everybody, nothing different. It looks so strange to them.
Yeah.
And when they found out this now, see, it's give them chance for millions of people to move at the time. But now, if you are talking to somebody about the gospel, or they hear about the gospel, you find that it's kind of different from where they're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
So, how do we balance this? So that it will be as if our effort is focused. So that we can be able to keep on being courageous in doing the work.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Because
benevolence. Yes. Also.
Benevolence. If not, you come there. So we are not talking benevolence today because you take it one by one so that you can. So when you get there, you can ask that question if you can write it down. See, the first century church, they also have problems. They observe a lot of problems. You see. Because that time was Judaism. Judaism was there. Don't let us forget that. There was Judaism. And Christianity also started. So it seems like there was a conflict, as we observe now. Now also, it seems like you don't have that conflict as with Judaism. But we have, the Church of Christ also have a conflict as denominationalism. You see, we have that the same conflict with denominationalism. Everybody, that's what I'm saying, Church of Christ, you don't change. All these denominations, they add, they subtract every year. You see, because we all know the Roman Church or Catholic and Anglican, when they came in the beginning, they even don't play instruments. You see, there's no instruments of music, but they keep on changing. You see, Church of Christ, we are not changing because we are using what is called pattern theology. We have a blueprint there, so you don't change no matter situation you face ourselves. So I understand with you because a lot of challenges, and that don't let us use that one as a new thing. You see, because the first century, they face the same problem, and God gave them. Why did they grow? Because they use all these five biblical aspects, what we are learning. And if you try to practice these five aspects, I promise you, God will add people. You see, God will add people, because adding people is not our job. You see, it's not our job. Our job is to practice these five ministries. If you practice five ministries, then as 247, God will add. You see? And that's why I'm saying it's simultaneously, because you can't do one thing and leave the other. If you do that, it will not work. The plan will not work. And you see that maybe you are wrong. But you are not wrong, because we are not doing all these five at the same time. It's not easy. It's not easy. But with God's help, you can do it. You see, with God's help. Because Judaism, there was very strong in that time. And we can read from the book of Acts all what happened when the church begins. So by God's help, you can do it when you focus. Because that's what I'm saying, 3,000 people baptized, 5,000 multiply. What is the miracle behind these things? What is the miracle? The miracle is what we are learning. You see, the miracle is what we are learning. Because If you are practicing all these five ministries, the ministries is not six, it's not ten, it's five. If you practice all these five ministries, God will add his people. If anybody has a question, because my time is just limited, I want to focus on my time, and if any contribution or any five things you have learned today, how we have opportunity, time and opportunity, you can confront or you can preach the gospel. You can preach the gospel through confrontation. You see, you can also, if the world you live in or the area you live in will not permit us, there is another way you can do it. You see, so with little what we have learned today, I want us to keep in mind, and we pray God will help us to continue doing his work. When time is no more for us, we can have good accountability to our dear Father. If there's nothing, then I prefer, it's 45 years, I prefer to stop here. And then next Sunday, God willing, you will look about the teachings, because this one is, it will go fast. Maybe benevolence or the place where you keep a little bit time. Teachings is, I say, teach them. So teach them, you know the procedure you have to follow, because God didn't say that teach them this, because teaching them how you can do that, 1, 2, the believers, because the believers, you also need to be taught, and you have to be obeyed as well. So if nothing, then you ask Brother Dotin, help us in the closing prayer.
Yeah, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed thy name. Father, we thank you for another wonderful opportunity to learn at your feet. We pray that which we have learned today may have a place in our heart. Help us as we worship you today, that you take absolute control, that in everything, all glory will be yours. And for as many of our brethren who might still be coming into the service, we pray you guide them all safely here, so that we can together give you an acceptable worship. Take all the glory, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.